Tell me if you've heard the story told this way before. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a mountain to pray. Moses and Elijah show up. Jesus somehow becomes dazzlingly bright. And then Peter. Oh, Peter. Poor, bumbling Peter. He says, "Hey, let's build some tents." Ridiculous. Preoccupied with hanging on to his mountaintop experience. Misguided at best. Except, what if Peter was right? See, right before the part of the story that we heard this morning, Peter had just identified Jesus as the Messiah. So now he sees Jesus with Moses and Elijah, who are figures of the end times. They point to the coming of God's chosen one, the promised Messiah. Moses told the Israelites that there would be a prophet raised up from among them who would speak in God's name, and they were to listen to him. Elijah was to return before the coming great and terrible day of the Lord. Maybe Peter didn't know exactly what he was saying, but surely this was a fulfillment of prophecy, a sign of the Messiah. And so he says, "Let's make three dwellings." We might hear this as Peter just wanting to build houses, but the image, the word here is booth or tabernacle, and it carries deep significance. It brings to mind the Jewish Feast of Booths that looked forward to God ushering in a new age and also remembered God bringing the people out of slavery. This festival reminds them that their ancestors lived in temporary dwellings for 40 years as they wandered through the desert. God was with them. God led them. God saved them. So Peter has recognized Jesus as the Messiah and now sees him talking with Moses and Elijah. He hears them talking about Jesus' departure. The word here is actually Exodus. Jesus has come to lead us out of our slavery. God is going to save us. So maybe Peter is using this image of booths to express a deep insight about who Jesus is and what he has come to do. So maybe the voice is actually confirming Peter's understanding. Yes. Yes, this is the one you think he is. Yes, my promises will be fulfilled. Yes, you should follow him. And the disciples were terrified. Of course they were. In the Exodus story, the very presence of God led the people in a pillar of cloud. Peter, James, and John must have known that this was no ordinary cloud. And when Luke mentions that someone is overshadowed, well, they don't usually leave unchanged. See, Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit at the conception of Jesus. And later, the disciples will be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and will become witnesses to the whole earth. I wonder what Peter, James, and John thought would be asked of them as they entered this cloud. Jesus' exodus, he was to accomplish this at Jerusalem. Jesus had already tried to tell them that he would be betrayed, killed, and raised. "Listen to him," said the voice. "Listen to him." But what does it mean to listen to him? What we have here is not a command issued to Peter alone, but a voice that is heard by disciples who are gathered together. Jesus' glory is witnessed only with others. In fact, community is a necessary component of this story. Divine revelation is understood in community that extends through time. Peter and the other disciples had a context for what was happening because they had heard the stories of those who had come before them. Because they knew how their ancestors in the faith had experienced the presence of God, they were able to recognize the presence of God. Jesus himself is found in community here. He has a conversation with Moses and Elijah, where they talk about what will happen to him in Jerusalem. I wonder if they confirm for him what he is to do or give him strength for the journey ahead. After his death, resurrection, and ascension, I wonder if Peter, James, and John returned to this moment together. As they struggled to be faithful after they had denied knowing Jesus, had deserted him, repented, and returned, did they remember, did they hear again that their call was to listen to him? Isn't this our call too? We are part of this community of faith that extends through time. We understand divine revelation because of these stories of people who have come before us. These remembrances and festivals that tell us how God has been present before. God journeys with us to freedom, but seeing the glory of God does not mean it becomes easy. If we are overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, we might be changed. But we enter the cloud together. We struggle together to follow the command to listen to Jesus. Most of you know that I am a seminarian, and many of you know that I'm in a discernment process that involves a lot of conversation, particularly about where and how I have felt called by God. But sometimes I get the sense that people have an idea that those of us who are in seminary, or perhaps who have been through seminary, hear a call in some completely different, spectacular kind of way. I don't think that's true, because I know that many of you have heard God's call. Maybe it has been in a voice that comes through a cloud or in a dream, but maybe it's been through the voice of the community asking you to lead or teach or serve. I know that you all have followed calls to be parents, activists, engineers, to be voices at prayer vigils, to be support for foster youth, to create Camp All Souls, to care for aging parents at great personal cost, to cook for Open Door Dinner, to deliver bread to visitors, and to do so many other things. God still speaks in various ways, and we are still being called to listen. Where have you felt God's prompting in your life? Where are you being urged even now? Think about it. Really consider it, because in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to actually share with a partner. If you need to move to find someone else to share with, please do. You will have 1 minute to share an area of your life where you have felt compelled or are feeling urged. And I will tell you when it's time, and then your partner will have 1 minute to do the same. Please find a partner now. Okay, time. Give your partner a turn. Please switch. Okay, time. Your time is up. Your time is up. You can actually continue these conversations later. Would anyone like to share something that you heard from your partner? Check with your partner if you need to, but an area in your partner's story where you heard God's call.
I think what I got out of our session is that God's call often comes silently from within.
Silently from within.
So it's something you know you must do, but it's not coming from the cloud at all.
Not from a cloud. An urging from within. Thank you. Yes, thank you.
It's not something you can accomplish over a weekend or simply by being more faithful and coming to church on Sunday. It can bring things that are really hard, and it can bring a lot of love.
Thank you.
Yeah.
A long-term commitment that can be difficult but brings love alongside.
Yeah.
Thank you. Did I see a hand? Maybe. Yes. Very specific and brief sometimes. Yes, thank you. Okay, this is unusual. Everyone, all at once, I want you to call out something that you heard in your partner's story. Ready? Now.
Unexpected moment.
This is how God is calling this congregation. Listen to him.